Halifax Mayor Derek Dobie's winding down his days at City Hall. How many left?
Oh, gosh. Got to be about 13.
Wow.
About 2 weeks now, 2 weeks from yesterday.
One meeting to go.
One meeting to go, yep. We'll see how much work we can get done in the final meeting next week on the 23rd. That'll be the my final meeting and the final meeting for Councilmember Alexander as well. And then the new council will take over the following week on December 1st. They usually just have a meeting where they call the meeting to order and swear everybody in, and then break for some drinks and cookies. So
head to the bar. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Important meeting for you though, because you have this Affordable Housing Commission up for a vote, right?
Yeah, that's coming up for a vote. It passed 6-1 at the last meeting, and they've been continuing to work with the city administration and advocates within the housing space to further tweak it a little bit, and then also see how we can really do an accelerated expenditures on some of the transitional housing that I think we need right now. You know, we have a big problem with housing insecurity. We're moving into a couple of months here with some really inclement weather, and want to make sure that those that are outside have places to get out of the cold. So I've been working with City Manager Green to take some of the existing housing stocks that the city has and see what we can do to use some of the ARP dollars to flip it, make sure that we have some space to house some individuals, and then also in the future to be able to put those onto the market and continue to use that revenue to rehab more houses into temporary units that we can continue that process going forward in the future.
Yeah, Derek, who's going to sit on the committee, and how are they, I guess, how are they selected?
Yeah, so they would be nominated by the next mayor and selected by the council. There would be five individuals that have some level of experience in housing insecurity, in affordable housing development, things like that. A couple of ex officios, one with some lived experience in the housing insecurity space, and then there would be a city council member, the city manager, and the executive director of the Jackson Housing Commission.
What do you see as their initial mission to get going with?
Well, I think first and foremost, as we move into the next 3 to 6 months, is providing some of that short-term emergency housing. That's something that we've been hearing at previous council meetings, and also something that we've been talking about with some of those who've worked in that space in previous years, and also some individuals with property in the kind of surrounding area to figure out how we can help some of the individuals that are frankly homeless, that either can't get into the shelter because of capacity issues or other issues, and what we can do to house them over winter. And then I think that board has to start to look at how we provide a longer term fix to the affordable housing that we have here, how we develop it in new housing units, new low to moderate income housing units, and how we preserve some of the existing infrastructure that we have to provide more affordable housing in neighborhoods across the city.
Well, the vote was 6-1 in the first reading, as you mentioned. You don't expect much of any change. You did go back. There was some tweaking, I think, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was some tweaking on the area median income, setting different rates for the residential units and non-residential units, so or owner-occupied units versus non-owner-occupied units. So owner-occupied would have a ceiling of 120% AMI, and owner-occupied would have a ceiling of 60% area median income. What that means is about, for a family of three, that's about $35,000 for total family income for a family of three for owner-occupied units, and $70,000 for a family of three for, $35,000 for a family of three for non-owner-occupied units, and $75,000 for a family of three for owner-occupied units. So both are still, low income. That's the need that the advocates within the housing community have expressed, is in kind of dire need of more affordable housing right now. And that's what I think the city council is focused on.
So some interesting fire department news. I'll let you make the announcement.
Yeah, so one of the things that we did when we were working to respond to COVID was opened up actually two of the other fire stations. We did open up the Station 2 and Station 3. We are looking to reopen Station 2 at the beginning of the year as we continue to grapple with COVID, but also as we continue to explore what kind of a regional fire department can look like. As you know, the unions for Summit and the city of Jackson have already merged. And, as we look at more scarcity of resources, ways that we can more effectively provide services and reduce response time into the future, I think it makes sense for us to reopen Station 2 and continue to explore a relationship with Summit Township and their fire department. That also allows us to have a station south of the train tracks open, especially as next year MDOT starts to work on the railroad infrastructure downtown over Jackson Street. I think they're going to be holding some information sessions next February, but having a manned station on the south side, I think, will improve response times and keep our residents and their property safer and better protected.
Now, Station 2 is where?
Station 2 is at Milwaukee and Pringle. So over on the south side, fairly close to Summit Township. So the thought being that, as we have mutual aid, we can be more adept at responding to some of the fires, not only on the south side, but also some of the fires within Summit Township as well.
So that's interesting news, and sounds like some cooperation between the city and Summit.
Yeah, further cooperation. I think, we also, like I said, last year we had we opened that station to promote more of a physical separation between some of the staffers at the fire department during COVID, and with MDOT replacing those bridges over Jackson Street and Mechanic Street, and kind of that grade, redoing that grade down the entire rail line there. There's that potential cutoff from the central station, Station 1. So I think it'll help with the fire department responding to all calls, south of Michigan Ave, and utilizing Station 2 is going to help eliminate that concern.
So will that be manned around the clock?
Yeah, I think the intent is to put Station 2 back into service. I'm not sure what the schedule would look like or what sort of rig they would have over there, but the intent is to bring that station back online provide more services. And I think that'll be something that the city manager and the director of police and fire services and the fire chief will have to work on what that looks like. But I think it's overall a good plan and helps us to figure out how we share more services and produce better services that reduce costs to the taxpayers.
So Juneteenth will be a holiday here in the city?
Yeah, one of the things actually that I think we had conversations about, I want to say last year, but just kind of going into the end of the year with starting to lay out what the calendar looks like for next year with city council and city staff. I think that we're going to be, as you know, the federal government made Juneteenth a national holiday. And I think that there's now interest with this city administration in making it a city holiday. I think it's something I called for with the previous city manager. It may have been right about the time of transition between Manager Birch and Manager Green, but I think that with the conversations that we've had over the past year, with some of the happenings at the federal level, I think that it's now appropriate for us to also make that an official city holiday and celebrate it here in the city of Jackson, too.
Does that mean I get the day off?
We'll give you the day off, Greg.
Great.
But who will I call?
There you go. So next Tuesday, your final meeting.
Next Tuesday, yep. Come to say your, I guess the citizens can come to say their goodbyes or good riddances.
Well, that should be fun.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Get it.
I was just saying last, it'll be kind of bittersweet. I've had a fairly long run on council, past decade of being sitting on council, so it'll be kind of weird not to show up every other week and be sitting up on the dais and making some of those decisions. But it'll be cool to be a private citizen again and participate in civic engagement in different ways. So I'm excited about it.
What's your biggest takeaway from that decade?
I think that at the broadest level, I remember when I was first running for office and how I was scared that, I knew I was passionate about the city, but scared that I didn't know enough about local government and some of the issues that we were facing and things like that. But I knew I wanted to make a difference. And I think by and large, I have. And I think that, what I tell people who are looking to get involved in politics or looking to run for office or contribute to their community, you're never too young. And I think that, that's what I would take away is that anybody that is passionate about our community that wants to work to make it better, there's a space for you to do that. And there's certainly space at the city and in public service as well.
And you better have thick skin.
You might want to have a little thick skin, but if you don't, rest assured that you will develop some.
Well, get some rest.
I'll try.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one. Bye. Talk to you next week. Jackson Mayor Derek Dolbies.